This is the time in our service where we get to celebrate the Lord's table together. And as we do that, please open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Paul in Philippians is giving an account of his life. He's sharing what his life was like before conversion in chapter 3 here. And he is sharing what his life is like now after he has been transformed by the power of the gospel, by the power of God at work in him. And he shares in this section what he loved, what he valued. He shares what he treasured prior to salvation. And in these verses, we see the recalibration of Paul's life. Really, it was a complete transformation of Paul's life. This is what the gospel does. The gospel transforms lives. And Paul here describes for us the total reorientation of his life. And all of this has occurred because of Jesus. We're going to fix our attention to verses 7 and 8 as we prepare for the Lord's table this morning. Read with me starting in verse 7. Paul says, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ." The gospel produces radical change. The gospel produces radical change. When the gospel impacts a life, there is complete change in that life. Fundamental change, a profound change. Whatever things were, they are no more. Paul experienced this, and we can summarize Paul's change into two categories this morning from these verses. We see a change in values, and we see a change in desires. First, a change in values. Look at verse 7 again. "Whatever was gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ." Paul uses accounting terminology. Paul says, whatever was good to me, whatever was positive, whatever was of profit or gain, those things are nothing now. In fact, not only are they nothing, but they are a loss. Religiously speaking, Paul had plenty to count as gain. Look at verse 4. He says, "Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless." Paul was an excellent Jew. If anyone has a right to put confidence in himself for right standing before God, it would have been Paul. And Paul says, loss. Loss. And not only that, look at verse 8. More than this list of things, he says, "More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." All of his religious rites as a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin, all of his life of obedience to the law, all of that loss compared to knowing Christ. Paul desires to gain Christ perfectly, and listen, a valuing of anything other than Christ competes with that. A valuing of anything other than Jesus competes with knowing Jesus. Christ must be your all. He must be my all. All things are a loss. They do not aid, they do not assist, they do not help, they do not enable knowing Christ. The second category of change we see is a change in his desires. Look at the second half of verse 8. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Again, everything is turned upside down. What Paul desires now is Jesus, so much so that anything else is trash. It's waste. The divide between Jesus and everything else is infinite. No comparison. And read the next line in verse 9. Paul's desire is to gain Christ and to be found in Christ, not having his own righteousness derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Paul spent his whole life trying to obtain a righteousness that was his by keeping the law. That was his whole life. Paul was characterized by self-effort, by external morality, by the keeping of religious rituals and doing good moral works. And all of these things were produced by his flesh, and none of these things accounted to a righteousness that is acceptable to God. Then Jesus came along on the Damascus Road, and everything changed. And Paul gladly exchanged the burden of pursuing a righteousness of his own, and he embraced the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith in Christ Jesus. That is the righteousness that Paul desired. Now, this is Paul's testimony. Is yours similar? Are you found this morning having a righteousness that is not your own? Or is your life characterized by your pursuit of your own righteousness? The gospel produces radical change, and what we must see is that Christ is the only one who can bring that radical change through his gospel. We must pursue that change eagerly, but what we can't forget is that while the gospel produces radical change, the gospel came at a radical price. Oh, it's true. If you repent and believe upon Jesus, if your life has been transformed by the power of Jesus, you have experienced radical change. But what you cannot forget, believer, what we cannot forget, Grace Bible Church, is that that radical change took a radical price. Radical price. You, believer, are found this morning having a righteousness that is not your own, because he who knew no sin became sin on your behalf. What a glorious reality. You have the joy, you have the privilege, the blessing of knowing Jesus and pursuing him because he went to the cross and was beaten and was crushed. You, believer, can now know Christ because he shed his blood. And so, in a moment, the men are going to come and they're going to pass out a piece of bread. And we're going to take that bread and you're going to put it in your mouth and crush it under your teeth. And as you do that, remember the radical price that has brought the radical change to you as Jesus was crushed. And they're going to pass out a cup with juice. And remember the blood of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Remember his blood that was shed so that you could experience radical change and can know Christ. If you do not believe, if you have not experienced a radical change in your life, if what you are, you still are, and you have not found joy and hope and peace in Christ, if you have not repented of your sins and experienced forgiveness of sins in Jesus, I would plead with you now. Let this morning be your Damascus Road. Jesus has been placed before you. Repent. Don't wait another moment longer. Repent and believe in Christ and join with us and take the bread and the cup. And remember Christ, remember what he did. But if you will not, if you will harden your heart yet again, if you will not turn to the narrow road, if you will stay on the broad path, which leads to destruction, that I would ask that you would let the bread and the cup pass you, as this is a time for believers to remember our precious Savior, Jesus. Men, please come and serve us. When your heart is prepared, take the bread and the cup on your own.